place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, May 6, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This is our weekly edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. The call-in number is 347-857-4364. Excuse me. Press 1 if you want to speak on the air. Otherwise, we let you listen out there when we don't bother you. So if you do want to speak on the air, make sure you press 1, and that lets us know you want to join the discussion. I'm telling you, there's just so many things going on right now that I just, Karen, I don't know about you, but I just keep thinking May 16th is so important. May 16th, the Operation American Spring, I'm telling you, if we don't get enough people there, it's going to, I think, be a very, very bad thing for our country. And the fact that the media isn't covering any of it, even Glenn Beck won't talk about this Operation American Spring on the show, which I think tells me that it's the right thing for us to be doing. And for those who aren't familiar with Operation American Spring, this is May 16th, a massive march on Washington, D.C. Colonel Harry Reilly has been working on this for months, and constitutional attorney Michael Connelly has written up the articles of impeachment. They've delivered papers to every congressional representative, and there's demands that people be removed from office, peacefully removed. There is no violence here. This is all a peaceful takeover, taking back our government. And, you know, the things that are happening right now, and I'm going to mention a few of them, is why this is so important. Because if we don't do this, if we don't take back this government from these out-of-control tyrants, this country just isn't going to be around much longer. Just a couple of things I'm going to mention, and then definitely, Karen, you let me know if you think I'm crazy on any of this or what you're thinking.
No, Sally, like, I think you're right on track.
You know, Jay Leno, believe it or not, Jay Leno is actually out there protesting Sharia law. I mean, that tells you something, which is really good. Somebody out in Hollywood will actually do something. But I heard today that the Mexican army has invaded part of Arizona.
Sally, going right along with that, I heard this weekend that truckloads of signs freshly painted saying martial law were being trucked into America.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. And at the same time as that's happening, common law is out there teaching the Holocaust never happened, trying to brainwash these kids into thinking that that was all a fake. Here in Florida, we're giving benefits to the illegals through the tuition. We're going to give them free or lower tuition, whatever the deal is, to illegals. And now an illegal can practice law. So you're going to have lawbreaker practicing law. I mean, this is sick.
This is very
sick.
And the law, the legislators in Florida, every single one of them deserves to be replaced. There is not one of them there that has done anything this session to help the people of Florida. And you know what? The federal government is exactly the same. I don't know, speaking along, and I'm picking this up with your speaking about the illegals. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, the new immigration policy. They want to extend and turn the H-1B visas into permanent status, giving 100,000 illegals the right to stay here and steal Americans' jobs.
Isn't this sick? I mean, what is it with these people? I mean, has Washington been totally taken over by a bunch of communists? I mean, obviously Tallahassee has. I mean, this is so sick.
That's the saddest part. I really, truly, 100% believe the answer to that question is yes, because the policies that these few individuals are doing are a disgrace to Americans and Americans. And part of the problem, let's go back to Sharia for a minute, Sally. Part of the problem is that people romanticize Sharia because they have no idea what it is, because the media refuses to discuss it. And there's only a very few people that will discuss it. And when you romanticize something because you don't know what it is, then you leave yourself open to interpretation. And there is no interpretation in Sharia. There isn't any. It says, exact going to say, and part of that says, we are going to stone gays. We are going to stone them. What part of
we're
we
are
going to stone them don't they get?
Well, exactly. I mean, we're the homosexuals right now, and I'm not going to call them gays. I'm going to call it what they are. They're homosexuals. And do they not understand this? But they're out there jumping up and down because they think this is some kind of liberation. And now I think it was on Glenn Beck today, or I think it was on Glenn Beck, where I heard something about they've changed Sharia to go out there and say that incest is now allowable. So now
yes.
Sharia will also allow, which
yes.
will be a lot more rape and molestation of children. That's
yes.
part of this too. I mean, it
yes.
is so sick.
So you could go and rape and marry and force your 4-year-old sister into having sex with you, and that's okay. I agree with you, Sally. This is, we're living in a bizarre planet, and it's really too bad we can't say to the people, you want to be in California? Why don't you all move to California? And then you could have it and just leave us guys alone, because we don't want to be part of this lunacy. And unfortunately, we have to go back to the Communist Manifesto, which says, in order
yep.
to create chaos, you must bring in perversion. And that's exactly what they're doing. Look at what
yeah.
what also just happened. A woman filmed her own abortion.
How sick is that?
It's really sick. Here, watch me kill my child.
And be grinning about it, the whole and seeming to be, oh, I'm perfectly fine with this. There's nothing wrong here. This is a good thing. I mean, even those who would choose to have an abortion, to be in there celebrating it like it was someone, it was disgusting. It's like, you're nuts, people. And yet these same people, they'd be out there ready to hang you if you were in any way, shape, or form harming a animal or something, you know, or you're not affecting the rats someplace or whatever. I mean,
the
logic.
Then, you know, then we go back to who is really the endangered species. And it's humans.
Exactly.
It's the humans who have become the endangered species. When your kids are learning in school that humans are the killers, they are the destroyers, they are the most destructive force on the planet. And they will destroy the planet. And therefore, you must ration yourself while everybody else in the government gets to abuse themselves because you are the ones who are the destroyers. And then it filters into school, and the kids learn to believe that. Then they come home, and they hate mommy and daddy. And then they think mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa are polluting the earth, and they don't care what happens to mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa because they're the polluters, and who cares what happens to them?
That's right. They're
the
evil. They're the bad people.
They're the bad guys. They're the bad guys. Before we go any further, folks, you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio American Statesman every Tuesday from 8 to 10. And on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 noon and Sunday at 12 in the evening. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, saveamericafoundation.com, karenshone.com, and votekarenshone.com. This is your host, Karen Schoen. John is still on a I almost said cruise ship. It's not a cruise ship, folks. He's on a rig. And he is out in Africa. And they are setting up drilling in Africa. Isn't that nice? So the people in Africa will have nice warmth and cool when they need it. And the people in America are going to be hit with massive taxes because the Supreme Court believe the EPA, who we've just found out again is lying and lying and lying. And Sally Baptist is with me tonight, And we appreciate it, Sally. It's always wonderful to have a conversation with someone else, not just myself. And we are going to have a wonderful guest host. But, Sally, every time I see this about the illegal invaders and then being able to get a law degree, this is insanity.
The illegal, here you're a criminal, but you're going to practice law. I mean, it makes no sense.
You can't, and if you are a felon, you can't vote, but you can practice law.
I mean, this is just it is just insane.
Maybe that's the problem. They're still practicing. They haven't figured it out yet.
I don't know. But I'll tell you, there's two other things I want to mention real quick. This is Florida stuff. Right here in Orange County, Orange County Commissioner Rhino, Fred Brummer, is out there pushing for a sales tax for highways, for roads and infrastructure. This is a lot like Mobility 2020 a while back. Now, he's doing this after, this is, of course, to help pay for a scam rail, their stupid Sun Rail thing, that, by the way, we will actually pay for people who miss the train. We'll get to pay for their rides home, too. He's doing this when they've just announced that they're going to put tolls on all the interstates. There's no expressway being built in Florida that's not going to be paid with tolls and be sold off to some foreign corporation. I mean, this guy is an idiot, and I'm going to write an article saying he's an idiot. And it's like, it's just so disgusting what these idiots are. And then one other thing, and this one kind of ties into our discussion about the illegals. Nobody in their right mind would want Alan Grayson reelected, okay?
No.
I think we can all agree on that. And unfortunately, I happen to be in Alan Grayson's district, you know.
Bad for you.
But here,
you.
There's a constituency. He's such a nutcase. I won't even get into his. The scary part is he could get reelected. Who knows? But there is a Republican candidate running against him, Jorge Bonilla, and he, in the Shark Tank, he wrote some things about the Republican Party and the Hispanic vote. The Republican Party needs to move towards being a party of inclusion instead of focusing on outreach. Hispanics, like other Americans, live in our communities. Their kids go to school with our kids. And I have made 4 requests for this guy to come on to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio on Monday and talk about what's going on with the GOP and the Hispanic vote. I have gotten no response, not even to go take a flying leap, or not to say I'm too busy, I'll get to you whenever nothing. No response at all from this guy's campaign. And I have, in my last email to him, I finally asked him, what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to tell the truth? And, you know, I put a couple of things in here that, I think are so telling about what the Republican Party is. When are they going to, and I asked him the question. These are the questions I gave to him. I won't read the whole email to you, but what I put to him is, when are you going to stop being Hispanics or Latinos and start being Americans? When will you embrace being Americans and be loyal to America? Are you an American or are you a Hispanic? Pick one. And when will the GOP... Go ahead.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was really my comment. When are we going to stop being Hispanic and this thing and that thing and just be American? It's enough already.
Exactly. They've destroyed the meaning of being an American because they keep dividing people. And I gave plenty of references to President George Washington. He nailed it on the head. Washington knew what he was talking about. And the other is, when will the GOP embrace the meaning of American? When will the GOP promote national security and legal immigration? And then one of the big questions I really asked him at the tail end here. I'll read this one little thing here. Sad fact, I know some Hispanics hate America, i.e. National Council of La Raza. I believe America, they believe America stole the Southwest from them. These Hispanic individuals will never be Americans. They will always hate America. They will always demand that America change for them. They will always seek to divide and conquer America. They will never unite as Americans. This is the sad truth. I do not like it, but I accept this fact. It's time to accept the fact and stop playing games with the Hispanic vote. It is time to campaign as Americans. It's time to vote as Americans. If the GOP establishment refuses to campaign and vote for America, they will not see the 2016 election. As an American, I will not support any anti-American party or candidate. We need Americans in Congress. Jorge Bonilla, you must decide, are you an American or a Hispanic? Now, I don't know that I'll ever get an answer to that.
I doubt it. You asked the right question. I doubt you're going to get a good answer.
Well, I finally went ahead and put that out there because I had asked enough time, you know, I had invited him just to the general discussion, and when, after, you know, three attempts and the fourth one was the final, I went ahead and laid it on the line and say, are you American or what? And that's what it is. And this is happening across the country, not only with Hispanics, but with other factions. But the Hispanics are making this major, you know, personally, hey, let's give all the Hispanics California. You want it, take it.
Sally, like, you asked the wrong question. You should have asked him if he was a racist.
If he was what?
If he was a racist.
Well,
he must be a racist if he doesn't.
If
he can't talk to Americans.
Well, exactly.
So there, everything else is a racist. He must be a racist too.
Exactly. And it was so funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Charlie Crist said that racism, not Rubio, drove him away from the Republican Party.
Oh, my goodness. And how many idiots are going to vote for that guy, too? I'm like, you know.
Too many. The same idiots that are going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
And Alan Grayson. I'm telling you, this tells you the mentality there. The mentality.
And then you will also be very happy to know that Obama said that if you don't like Mexican food, you must be a racist. I feel like I'm in the middle of one of these Jeff Foxworthy videos where he always says, you must be a redneck if, you must be a racist if. If you're white and you're an American and you love America, you must be a racist.
Exactly. If you're willing to wear an American flag in America on Cinco de Mayo, you're a racist. If you don't celebrate right. Cinco de Mayo, you're a racist. I mean, this is how sick it is.
Exactly. This is just more of the same. It's pandering for votes. It has nothing to do with anything. And they are on a crash course to destroy America because that's what they want to do. They want to have their little drones coming out of school with their little algorithms that decide what slot they're going to fit into so that Bill Gates can fill his corporate world with inexpensive labor because Americans make too much money and besides they're racist.
And I'm like, and even I mean, the average Democrat, the average person who is a Democrat, these are working class people, you know, they can't all be stupid. At some point, don't they realize they're being sold up the creek, too? And it's not just, it's on both sides. They're giving away our jobs to everybody else. They're shipping everything else. I'm starting to hear a little bit of static on your phone. I don't know if you're under a ceiling fan or something.
Probably. Is that better?
Good at first, and then something. Yes, that's good.
Okay, good.
I
must be a racist.
You're the NSA. You're a racist, and the NSA is listening. But anyway, it's just we're in such bad shape. And I'm telling you, May 16th, if we do not have a good turnout in Washington on May 16th, I think that's probably going to be the true end of this country because that will show that we have no will to fight for this country.
Well, the good news is, Sally, there's more people that I am speaking with that feel the way we do. So that part is really good. The problem is there's no leaders, and the leadership is so lacking, it's disgraceful. It is it's stellar to talk to the constituents that I go and speak with, and everybody is saying the same thing, and you know, they're getting lip service from these corporate talking heads who all of a sudden now have become politicians. And that's the real travesty. And in Florida, as we always say, you get the government that you deserve. There are 70 seats in Florida where people are running unopposed. How do you expect to make a change in a state and run for office? And that's really the message that should be carried throughout every single state. We have an opportunity to make huge changes. Forget about the polls. The polls are meaningless. They don't have any validity. When you go poll a group of Democrats, they're going to tell you how wonderful things are. When you go poll a group of Republicans, they're going to tell you how wonderful their things are. They're not polling the right people, so don't pay attention to the polls. And don't pay attention to the incumbents. But the sad part and the reality is that these people are running for office without having opposition. And then we're going to expect changes? That is not going to happen. And that's very sad because you're right, Sally. What kind of a world are we leaving for the next generation? The next generation, it's not even that I'm concerned about. It would be our grandchildren. What are we leaving for our grandchildren other than a very bleak future? Very bleak future. I mean, just reading before we got on the air an article that is exactly in tune of what we were talking about last week. Last week we were talking about all the mortgage fraud and how the people are being blamed for not paying their mortgages, while the banks actually put the people out of business and the regulations shut down their businesses. And then out of the blue comes this article from Warren Buffett. The housing market is stagnant, and he just can't understand it. I was like, what? You are one of the reasons why the housing market is stagnant, because you are the one who shut down the Keystone Pipeline and put all these people out of jobs. You and your cronies are so busy stealing our money and stealing everything that we own, and then you turn around and you say to us, why don't you go buy a house? Oh, really? Oh, whoopee.
You know, one other thing about Keystone, since you brought that one up, I got to put this out there. Once again, our fearless or useless, I should say, useless media has done its typical crapple. But, you know, I mean, I recall quite plainly that here the Democrats and the Republicans actually seem to be on board to get this thing passed and to get out there. The EPA was finally shut down, or they finally said okay to whatever's going on there. But it was Obama who refused to sign the Keystone policy. And this was all because of a guy, I think his name is Tom Steyer, who was a major contributor to the DNC. Now, I'm not really sure. Maybe you can help me understand. What is bribery? Isn't that bribery?
Oh, no, it's a donation. It's not bribery. It's a donation. I'm not going to give you a donation unless you vote no.
I mean, could someone explain to me why we haven't gone after the bribery aspect of this? Because he was buying influence.
Oh, Sally, you know what the problem is, Sally? He did it with a smile. He wasn't a bully. Because pretty soon we're going to have a law against bullying. It's going to be a criminal offense to bully somebody. Not to bribe them, not to steal from them,
not to take everything they own, not to be a liar. That's okay, but don't be a bully. That's the key.
Crazy.
We can't be a bully. We can't do this and bully people, because if we do, we'll go to jail. I mean, this is the statistics are coming in faster and faster and faster. The job number of yesterday was a joke, a joke. And that one I have to Sean Hannity for doing a good investigation on that. What was it? 288,000 jobs were reported, and the majority of them were bogus. They just made up jobs so that they would improve the job numbers. So what do we have here?
The biggest fraud. It's a massive fraud against the people.
And what is it going to take? And Sally, I agree with you 100%. Next weekend, folks, if you are not in D.C. or waving a flag someplace, and I know everybody can't get to D.C., and I know, unfortunately, the Libertarian Party of Florida is having their convention next week, but that was not done. I want to explain to everybody that was not done on purpose. The Libertarian Party had that date set up over a year ago, and somehow there was a miscoordination. If you can at all get to D.C., if you can at all, you must go to D.C. Or show support in some way or another, because this is the end. This is the end, my friend. This is the last chance, because if we have – oh, you're going to love this one, Sally. I was called the other day for a poll, a Quinnipiac poll, and I was asked if Hillary or Jeb were running for office, who would I vote for? And I said I'd stay home and slit my wrist.
And I'll join you.
That's not an answer.
There's no way I could vote for either one of them. They're both communists.
I know. One is a communist and one is a globalist. So what's the difference between the two of them? I can't figure it out. And then I said, you're giving me all of... She says, well, let me give you a different one. Would you vote for Nan Rich or... Not Nan Rich, I'm sorry. Would you vote for Paul Ryan or Hillary Clinton? And I said, I haven't gotten off the couch yet. And after, she says, well, who would you vote for? And I said, well, you don't have any libertarians on your ticket. So is this a real poll? Because it really isn't. You have no libertarians there. So she said, well, would you vote for... she went through a whole list. And when we stopped that, she said, Ted Cruz or Hillary Clinton. And I said, well, now you're talking. At least you're in the right ballpark, but he's not eligible to run. So next.
Did she ever say Rand Paul?
Yes. The last one she said was Rand Paul. And I said, now I would vote. Now I would actually vote. But, folks, that's the way that these polls are conducted. They are skewed. And the only reason why I agreed to take it was because I figured I could skew it more. And I have a good time with them when they call me for polls. They ask me who I would vote for, Charlie Crist or Rick Scott. And I gave them, and I said, wait a minute, you don't have the candidate there. And I said, Adrian Wiley. And they said, well, he's not on our list. And I said, I know, that's because you don't have the libertarian candidate. So again, I will ask you, how is this a fair poll? It's not a fair poll when you don't have the real candidates. You only skew them in the direction that you want them to go. So the point from this is, don't pay attention to the polls. They're meaningless, especially when Karen answers them.
That's right. They really don't. It's outrageous on this nuttiness. And it's so true. They want to go up and say, well, here's what the race is. But the thing with Rand Paul, that shows you how sick the GOP party is. Because here, you know, if they didn't want to put him first, but they want to brainwash and whatever you want to call it, the Republicans out there, I'll call them the GOP loyalists, to go out there and say that they should go for another Bush. We've already had two Bushes in office. We don't need another communist Bush in the office. But this is what the GOP is doing to their own party. And it's like, this is why you got to leave the GOP. You do like George Washington and be a no-party affiliate routine or get into something else. Do not be a member of, definitely, personally, don't be a member of any party, but definitely not of either of these two parties. They are so despicable, so evil. It's like, you know, it's just disgusting. Every time I think about both of them, I about want to, but we won't go there right now.
The other thing is, don't contribute to the party. If you see a candidate that you feel is worthwhile and you want to contribute, send the money to the candidate. Don't send the money to the party, because then the party is going to pick your candidate. And that is the way that's the way they keep their power, is because the sheeple, that's us, keep on doing the same thing over and over again, and we send them our money. And as soon as we send them our money, then they feel emboldened to do what they want. And you don't send them money and say, vote for, this is for so-and-so, because that's not going to happen. They do not do that. So usually
I
get a survey in the envelope, and it's an envelope that says that says no stamp required, oh, I have a good time with that one. I have a really good time with that one.
That's right.
The last one they sent back was, I just wrote on it in my magic marker, my big black magic marker, and I said, when you stop lying, contact me. Well, they haven't contacted me since, so I guess they're still lying.
That's so disgusting. Well, on that note, I see we do have our guest. Our guest has arrived, and I will let you introduce him.
Okay, we have a very interesting guest, folks, who I'm going to let him tell his story, but he is a fantastic, very, very funny man who was a podiatrist and came up with this wonderful concept. Now he is a cartoonist, and I'm going to let him tell you all about it. But meet Dr. Footsie. Hi, Martin. How are you?
How you doing, Karen? I appreciate it. Thanks for that. I was going to tell you that maybe my new slogan should be Run, Footsie, Run. Maybe I should run for office, too. I've ran all my life.
Should.
People were chasing me.
Yes, you should.
That's why I was blessed with good feet, I guess.
So how on earth did you make the transition from podiatrist to cartoonist?
Excuse me? That was a big transition. Actually, growing up, I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. Does it sound it in my voice?
Yes. On the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm originally from New York, and as a kid growing up, I was into art, always drawing off the comic books, and people thought I had traced them, and I didn't. And they wanted me to go to art school, but I never did. And then I was into athletics, and the only athletics that I wound up getting was athlete's feet. I say, hey, I better get into foot doctoring. No, but seriously, I was in New York, went to school there, college. My father worked for, at that time, was the Brooklyn Navy Yard, the shipyard, and they had closed. This was 1966 when I I started podiatry school in 1964. And then my father was working for the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and then they closed that down, I guess in 65, I'm not too sure when. And then he came out to California, had a chance to work out at the shipyard in Long Beach, California. And so me and my mother stayed, and then I transferred schools to San Francisco and graduated podiatry school in 1968 out of San Francisco. So when I first came down, my parents were living in Long Beach, so I used to drive down from San Francisco to Long Beach. I decided I wanted to set up practice in Southern California. And for a couple of weeks, I'd be riding around, and most people probably had heard of Watts, and I had heard about it only after the Watts riots, which was in, I think, 1965. But several times riding around, I was looking for a storefront and looking for a location, and saw several available where they had signs for sale, for rent. So every time I would stop, somebody would say, well, what do you want? I said, well, I just graduated podiatry school. I'd like to open up a clinic here. Oh, it's already been rented. And this went on for a couple of weeks. Everybody kept telling me. So I said, hey, what's the story here? And so one guy told me, he says, hey, you ought to go to Compton. I said, where's Compton? I never heard of Compton. So he said, oh, you go up a couple of more miles, you get your turn left or right. So naturally, I went up a couple of miles. Being left-handed, I said, let me turn left. Turn left, and I happened to see a storefront that was available. Called, and a couple of weeks later, we were starting to rent the office, put the equipment in there, and then I got my mother to work in the office. So I was in Compton for till 2 years ago when I sold my building, but I had stopped practice in 2002. But after my mother had passed away, and she was the glue that held the office together, and my father had passed away before that, and I was always doodling for the patients. An uncle of mine had come out, and he said, well, you ever do anything with your artwork? I said, nah. And I had doodled so much that I decided, hey, well, maybe I could put on a cable TV program. I got the nickname Footsie from all these union people. Hey, here comes Footsie. Well, the name stuck. Okay, I couldn't get away from nicknames. So I approached this cable company, and they kind of liked the idea. It was Ask Footsie, everything you want to know about feet, but were too embarrassed to ask. And I didn't know, and they loved the concept. And so, again, I didn't know how I'd come across on the TV or the cable. So I said, maybe I'll draw some background stuff. Well, I wound up in a period of about 3 months' time. We never did the show, but I wound up creating about 60 little foot cartoon characters. I mean, just doodling them with names like Totem Pole, Tipsy Toe, Tobacco, Tomorrow, and stuff like that. Well, to make a long story short, the program never materialized, or I didn't want to do it, let's put it that way. And then I started approaching the local schools and asking, hey, look, I'd like to educate people on the harmful effects of feet using a humorous approach. Because I've had over the years when people came in to your office, they were more frightened, and they were kind of, reluctant even. They felt apprehensive, I guess that was the word, being in a doctor's office. I didn't wear the white coats. I did wear surgical outfits, so I had a kind of like, here I am, I'm your friend, I'm your buddy, I'm going to help you. And basically, I got their attention. I got their confidence in who I was. But as I was explaining it to them on foot problems, it was easy for me just to draw up a foot and put like a bunion on it and put this on it. Hey, we got to take it off here. We got to do that. And then I'd always usually give them a little piece of paper, and I'd put eyes on it and an eyebrows and a nose and a happy, smiley foot. It was like your foot crying towel, okay? So as one thing led to another thing, I had approached the schools about what I was doing. And so they said to me, they said, Karen, well, this stuff is good, but we need stuff, that, you know, for helping kids, educate them on drugs, on tobacco, and on alcohol, and all those things. I say, hey, I got a bunch of little characters. Let me try creating something. And I wound up over a period of time creating, and make it short, the story, short story books I'd written. I'd written music. I had wound up making giant puppets. That was later on. And in my older age now, I became the Toe Tapper rapper. I'm actually recorded two little rap songs on No Smoking and Diabetes. Karen, ask me some questions.
Wow.
Sinus is draining. One thing I could, I don't know your particular background, but Lord bless my mother. She was the greatest thing in my life, and she passed away in 1986. So you're talking 28 years ago. But it's hard for me even to throw out some of the stuff here. Well, with the sinus problems I got, and she'd always say gargle with salt water and that. I don't carry too much stuff in my house. Well, I happened to find a couple of months back that happened. She had like one, I think it was Morton's kosher salt. So the stuff works. So I was using it as a nasal wash and a thing. So that's where I am.
Okay.
Go ahead, ask me what you were going to ask me.
Well, sure. First of all, please tell everybody where is your website so they can go and see some of your work.
My
really
website.
Important.
Okay. I go under the name of Dr. Footsie. It's a good enough name. People don't forget me. So it's D-R-F-O-O-T. S like Sharon. I like ice cream. E like Edward. Dot. O-R-G. And I'll be able to see a bunch of my cartoons that I created, a little animation, a little bit about my short story books. You'll see a lot of programs I've been on. I've got a couple of programs that I've developed for kids, a tobacco prevention program called Dr. Footsie's 20 Tips, using trading cards with cartoon characters with kids to be able to get the message on trading cards. On one side we have the cartoon, and on the other side it would have Dr. Footsie's tip number one, you know, smoking affects, smoking clogs your arteries and, you know, and affects your lungs and stuff. I can't even remember the slogans on the back. So the kids would try and learn to message. They'd learn to trade the cards if they'd have cards that they'd get duplicates. And we had, like, in the schools, we would try and give the teachers, if the kid did good in school, they'd get a little incentive pack of four trading cards. First of all, in that packet that they would get, Karen, they would get they'd get a book of the Dr. Footsie's Tales from Toland. They get a book on Taylor Tobacco. They'd get a flattened little box that flips up and makes it like a little package where you can collect your trading cards, okay? They would get a membership card that they would pledge never to use tobacco. They would get a three different postcards to learn to mail to someone in the country that they want to have them prevent them from ever smoking or to stop smoking. So the idea was what I call a TLC. It was trade, learn, and collect. So the idea, each kid would get four trading cards. And you didn't know which four you'd get, but you'd get four of the 20, and you had two bonus cards that you'd have to collect. So let's say the teacher, if little Karen got an A in a science class, oh, Karen, you did good. Oh, so here's a little something extra for you. So Susan comes up to Karen and says, hey, how come she got four extra cards? Well, little Karen got a good grade in her science. We want to be able to encourage kids that school is there not only to be fun, but also to learn. So when you collect all the cards, you then, if you got duplicates, you trade with the next person. And we were trying to get local businesses, a dry cleaners, a pizza place, a ice cream parlor, anywhere that didn't sell products that had drugs, tobacco, alcohol, et cetera, that they would be able to, if the kid came in and they spent so much money at the dry cleaners, well, they'd get an extra little packet, and they'd get excited about opening. So that was one program. So we developed a tobacco prevention program. And then recently I developed a diabetes program called Dr. Footsie's 20 Sweet Bits, using two giant cartoon characters called Sugarfoot and her significant other, Sweetie Toe, using giant puppets to educate, at this point, seniors with, again, you would get 20 giant trading cards that I would just show to the people, and they'd have a little picture of Sugarfoot on one or Sweetie Toe another, never to bathe your feet in hot water because diabetics lose the sensation. Again, making it in a fun way to get that point across, because I've learned over the years that most people, the older we get, hey, you've heard it already. They don't want to hear it from the doctor. Ah, Mrs. Brown, you should wear white socks. This, you should do this. You should lose weight. They already know it. They don't want to hear it. And so what I found out that most seniors, as you get older, have a tendency to watch cartoons at night. There's enough garbage that's out there on the TV with the news and all. Hey, you want to hear something a little bright? My father used to tell me all the time, it takes less energy to smile than it does to frown. It's better the people laugh at you and with you.
You're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right.
I'm trying not to get too forward. If you ask me direct questions, maybe instead of me getting off on a tangent.
Well, what I wanted to talk to you about is the new project. And
with
Dr.
the cartoon.
Sophie and I.
With the political.
What with a political slant, because one of the problems that I'm seeing is that, you know, Sally and I just finished a half hour of a rant that was very depressing.
Oh, I didn't know there was another, but there's a Sally there.
Sally.
Hi, Sally.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Sally.
Sally,
do you go around the rosebush?
Yeah. Do I go around the rosebush?
That was an old song.
No, not
years
lately. It was an old song.
Oh, you're not that old, Sally, to remember.
I don't know that one. But we do have a caller who'd like to ask or say something to you if you like.
Oh, go ahead. Be my guest.
Please.
Okay,
we'll talk about the new project after the caller.
Okay.
Okay. The last four digits are 7300. Caller, you're on the air. Can you give us your name, please?
My name is Miss Johnson. I'd like to give a shout out to Dr. Footsie.
How you doing, young lady?
The new kids on the street, TJ Johnson.
Oh, okay, thank you. New feet on the street.
New feet on the street. I'm a Grape Street kid.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, when she said new feet on the street, that's what I call the cartoon characters, the whole group of them. To get a message out to the kids in a happy kind of thing, and just to make it fun.
Well,
another caller.
Okay.
Are they going to hire me to do the Jay Leno show since he went off?
So I need to talk about Sharia.
Oh, Sharia. Oh, I used to go with a girl named Sharon. I don't think she had a Sharia in the family.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, the other caller. The last four digits are 8298. Please give us your name. You're on the air.
323.
I'm sorry,
they're talking to you.
Hello?
Hello? Let's see. Who am I speaking? I couldn't hear.
It's Sally.
Oh, this is Sally?
Yeah, Sally. On Racquet Club Drive, downtown Compton.
Oh, my buddy Sally.
Hey.
How you feeling after your little inconvenience?
Oh, I never had a pain. Didn't have a heart attack. Didn't have a stroke. My pressure went up to 290-something, over 100-something.
Oh, God
but
bless.
But I was getting ready to go up to Michigan and with Tony, you know, my nephew, and go over to up to Canada and go skiing for Christmas.
You can do this
but
next
Black
year.
And Decker split me open, but I'm great. I'm dancing as ever.
Hey, great.
My birthday was in January 17th, and I'm so glad to hear you.
Oh, thank you, Sally. I mean, I got
MC,
the science from, but I guess I'm okay.
Really introducing you. She's great.
Well, we're so happy to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Sally. Yes, Sally. It's an old friend, old patient, and Sally just recently went through, I think, a quadruple bypass. I think it was quadruple.
Yes. But no problems. I'm home.
And that's great. She's a beautiful lady.
You're a beautiful friend. And never will forget your professionalism as being, taking care of so many people with surgeries for the feet, and you're trying to keep it going for the young people to learn. And this is involving health, which we need very bad.
Yeah, and listen, I always appreciate you. The whole big problem, Sally, was to get people to get involved.
Yeah, it's so hard
to get people to get off.
We got a message out there now, and it's great. It needs about the health, you know.
Yeah, and that's important.
My nephew, you know, he's here from Michigan, and he's listening too.
Oh, okay.
Yes, my 20 is from Romulus, Michigan. You know, right outside Detroit.
Okay, I think he was a diabetic, isn't he?
Yeah, he's diabetic. He's listening. And he's taking care of his feet.
And that's important.
Yeah, Dr. Perot's been taking care of some of his needs because he's still with Mercedes-Benz as an automotive technician.
Okay.
Working, and then he had to be off for a little while, so he came out here to help out with
him. Okay.
Yeah, just be at the house and got my little dog out of the kennel. Okay.
Great. Hey, Sally, thanks for calling.
Oh, sure. I couldn't help it. When Tony Joy told me, we sit right here.
All right.
So great. And thank you for being there.
Hey, thank you for being a friend.
And keep the faith, okay?
That's all I got now at this point.
Don't give up on it.
Okay.
Night-night. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
It's wonderful to hear that what you're doing is working, and you're absolutely right. Humor has to be a part of life because that's a huge stress reliever, and we've got enough of that.
Yeah.
And I believe as a former
what did
teacher,
George Burns, he wrote a little book, so I might have read it years ago, How to Live to be 100 or something like that.
Right, and he did.
And humor has always made everybody, you could take away your problems. You got to have that, because stress, it will destroy all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a big problem, especially as we are facing what we are going to be facing in the future.
Uh-huh.
And the education is so lacking in the schools that what I was looking at when I first met Dr. Footsie was to use his ingenuity and creativity to create marketing materials that had a political message so that people would get an understanding of what's going on without being afraid of it. You know, everything that we're doing, it's the printed word, it's a conversation, and it's always very stark, and it always looks very bleak, and it always has it's always a disastrous outcome. And I think if we take another approach and we find humor in the problem, we can create a solution that will be embraced because people will understand what the problems really are. And I was looking at your political cartoons, and I think they are fantastic.
Thank
and
you.
As a candidate, what I wanted to do was share with other people that are running for office. There is nothing, you know, I give out a little business card. My candidacy is very low-key. We're not going to be collecting gazillions of dollars. I don't believe in that. My job would be to work for the people, and the job has a salary of $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
It is beyond my comprehension why a candidate feels they have to go out and collect $200,000, $300,000, and $400,000, and $500,000. And as I couldn't figure out why until recently, when I realized that there's two ways to get on the ballot. And one way is to actually go out and talk to people and ask them to sign a petition that would get you on the ballot. The other way is to pay a lot of money to get on the ballot.
Okay.
That's the problem. Because the candidates are not talking to the people, and all they're doing is collecting money so they can pay for expensive advertising, and that removes them from their job with the people.
Right.
So they literally have no job with the people. They have no contact with the people. They really have no idea what are the people's needs, what the people need to survive, to be healthy, to be whatever the issue happens to be. And yet when I go out and I talk to the people, I could categorize their problems, and all of their problems, no matter who they are, whether they're rich or poor or black or white or Hispanic or whatever, they're Americans, they all focus on the same three issues. And that usually comes in with education and regulation and the lack of ability to be able to be employed, because all of that creates the healthy part. And when
right.
any of those things don't happen, you have the major stress part, which is, to me, what creates all of the health issues, the majority of the health
mm-hmm.
issues. Before we go any further, though, we are going to say, and take a short minute break here, we're going to say that you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman. Please visit our podcasts. They can be seen at AmericanFreedomWatchRadio.com. Today's guest is Dr. Footsie. His website is Dr. Footsie, FOOTSIE.org. Please look him up. Please incorporate his humor into your children's life so that they get an idea of the healthy things that they can accomplish. Our other websites are Agenda21Today.com, CanHandlePatriots.com, SaveAmericaFoundation.com, KarenShone.com, and VoteKarenShone.com. And you are here today with myself, Karen Schoen, my co-host, Sally Baptist, and our guest, Dr. Footsie. And thank you all so much for joining with us on this wonderful Tuesday. What I was talking about was the fact that if we incorporate humor into even the worst disaster, and humor, folks, is not mocking somebody else. That's not what humor is about. Humor is about when you can take an incident that's really horrible and just lighten it up a little bit to take some of the stress and the bite and the sting out of it, because it's that stress and the bite and the sting that tenses up all of everything in your body and creates the problems that people have. If you could learn to relax, that's one thing that I do every night before I go to bed. It is very important, no matter how my day was, no matter what it was, I just like to take at least a half hour and just do nothing. And just think of something that is absolute, and sometimes I'll even turn on mindless television, because I want to remove myself from the stress so that I can bring myself down and relax and then be able to have a peaceful sleep. So my thought and idea was, I saw some of your political cartoons, and I think that if we can use some of those cartoons to get the message out, that is what sticks with the people. That is what resonates. If you can have a message out that they will keep, they will hold on to, it will resonate, then you can have the next conversation and the next conversation. So I think that what you're doing is fabulous. It is an absolutely wonderful tool to explain some of the things that are happening to us in a way, in a slant. And I love the last one that you did, and I'll have to send it to you, Sally, and we'll post it in the next newsletter and on Facebook.
On the environment or on danger?
Yes.
Yeah,
Dr. Footsie made a fabulous cartoon with all of the endangered species, and right
know,
in the middle
of
it
five, okay.
was man. And it really knocks home as to who are what is the endangered species. And if we keep on doing this to man, then man is going to be the one that's really endangered. And that's going to create a bigger problem. Look at what we're doing. We are destroying our country. We destroyed the forests when we stopped logging. So we would rather see the forest go up in smoke than a human making a living logging so that we could have paper, which was cheaper because we logged it here, and other things with wood. So now nobody can go in the forest. Nobody can touch the wood because of a spotted owl. And for hundreds of miles around instead of this forest being taken care of, because yes, the men were logging, but after they finished logging, they planted new trees. They also cleared the underbrush, which today nobody's allowed to touch. So what happens when you don't clear the underbrush? The underbrush becomes a tinderbox. We have a lightning event, and all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands of acres go up in smoke. And by the way, when it goes up in smoke, it puts more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than man could do in a lifetime. So who's fooling who? What are these programs really about when we allow environmentalists to make the animal kingdom more important than man, who is to take care of the animal kingdom? The animals don't take care of man. Man takes care of the animals. But if we destroy man, then what are we going, quote, back to? So I love what you're doing. I think it's a fabulous, fabulous approach, and hopefully we'll put a different slant that at least will get people talking.
Yeah, Karen, I think the whole key to everything in life is education. You know,
yes.
That's so important. Even when I went to school, probably when maybe you went to school, I was always of the opinion that they taught us in school with our government. There were three branches of the government: executive, legislative, judicial. That's all I remembered. It was only recently that I thought, hey, now there's a fourth branch. I said, what's this fourth branch? And they were saying it's common law. Well, I guess this was originally put in by our founding father. That's the power of the people. We've let our country get taken over by certain groups of people that have so much money and control over everything that they bombard literature and stuff out there, you know, and they don't even, they're afraid to tell the truth. I think the truth, like they've always said, will set you free. If people could see, let people make their own decisions logically. They shouldn't have to be put in a chain and a ball or whatever, twist their arm, hey, this is the way I want you to go. Let people come to their own realization. Use your own mind to come up. But you have to have a background in order to come up with what your solution be the problem. That's why I think I talked to you the other day when we first were talking, is that I thought my little cartoon with educating people on what our government's about. Each of the people don't even know we have certain rights that are being taken away. And if we could put that out in a humorous way, and if nothing else, maybe they should be, I thought of a program called Boots, Billboards Out on the Street, where the cartoons could be as people are driving. You see it. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. And people don't make people think that, you know, that they're stupid. They're not. People are not stupid. But yet our officials, our government, the handful of people that control the world, want to keep the masses ignorant. You can't do that.
Well, yes, and that's what we were also talking about. There's a big difference between stupid and ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
Ignorant people are people who were denied the knowledge. So you can't base your answer, your solution, when you only have half the ingredients. You can't bake a cake unless you have all the ingredients and the directions. It's the only way you can do it. And life is exactly the same. So if you're out in your life and you are only given half of the ingredients and you have no idea what the directions are, how can you make a decision?
It's
possible.
I've spoken at many places throughout the country. I've been in several places, set up booths in Washington, D.C., in Seattle, in Minneapolis, on different programs on tobacco using my cartoons, using this and that, as a visual kind of thing. But I always would leave when I talked to different groups, and I would always, at the end, I'd say, we all came into this world ignorant. Yes, ignorant. Let's not leave it that way.
Let me share one thing real quick. One quick thing when we talk about the ignorance and the stupidity of stuff. I always refer to it as the three levels of knowledge. Ignorant,
okay.
Dumb, and stupid.
Okay.
Ignorant, lacking knowledge. Dumb, you have knowledge but don't know what to do with it. Stupid is you have knowledge, you still refuse to ignore it, and you do the same stupid things. So
okay.
I've always kind of gone with the three levels of knowledge.
Okay.
I like that, the three-legged stool.
I couldn't hear you, Karen.
I said I like that. That becomes the three-legged stool.
Oh, okay. There you go with a stool. Okay.
That's right. If you don't, if you're absolutely right. If you're not given the facts in the beginning, then you cannot make an informed decision, and therefore
right.
You are ignorant.
What did they used to tell me? I remember in taking math classes. Math, they used to say, was mathematics was the only true science, they used to say. So you could take, if you start off the original premise or whatever, that 1 plus 1 equals 3. But if you follow it all the way through, it will work. But if you're given the wrong stuff and the wrong information, and then you're trying to put it to something, you've been misled. You've been told a whole bunch of wrong thoughts. And people can't make a logical decision. That's important. I think that's the beauty of a republic, of a democracy, is that you have the freedom to be able to make a choice, no matter who your background, whatever your background. We're all only human. That's the only way I divide human life, is human first, male, female. That's as far as I go. The rest, you could do whatever you want. You could throw it all out. Don't mean that. I don't care what you believe in. You can believe in a rock or whatever. But those are how I categorize people. People should have that opportunity to reach their fullest potential. And without having enough knowledge to work with, you can't expand. And we all got a dream. And you got to dream big. What's the sense of dreaming? Hey, I could jump up this high. You got to shoot for the moon. We did.
Well, those are words, unfortunately, those are words that are now not even being taught.
Right.
And because I remember when I was teaching, I used to tell my kids, there is no boundary. You can do whatever you set out to achieve, but you have to have the skills to be able to make the right decisions, and that's what school is supposed to provide you with. School is supposed to provide you with the tools so that you can go out and make informed decisions. But part of those decisions will lead you down a path that you may fail at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. There's
yeah.
nothing wrong with failing.
How many times
we learn from our mistakes, and in the next time you tackle that issue, that problem, you learn, oh, well, if I do it that way, it's not going to work, so let me tweak it and do it a different way. If I do it the other way, wow, not only will it work, but it might even work better. And
right.
that was the beauty of America. That was the beauty of American exceptionalism. It was the ability, Americans used to get an object, get a something. Let's go back. Let's take a look at Remember the First TV.
Oh, yeah, I was on TV
when
I was a little kid.
60s. That's right. What was the TV? Well, it was a huge, big piece of furniture with a little tiny screen in front of it, but it was filled up with tubes, and this was this little tiny TV. The beauty of being in America was that you could take that TV. You could take out the tubes. You could take out the things. You could play with it. You could do with it. You might create something. Look at what we have today. Look at how the TV has evolved. And that happens with everything. As long as you have the ability to create with the knowledge that when and if you fail, failure is not the end.
failure is really the beginning. The beginning of something different.
What did they once ask Thomas Edison? I remember a reporter, that story goes, I wasn't there. The story goes, Mr. Edison, I guess he called him Mr. Edison, maybe call him Tom. He would say, how do you feel that you have failed 1,100 times or 1,400 times on what you know, to create the light bulb? And then he said, listen, my son, or whatever he told him, he says, I didn't fail at anything. I just learned 1,100, 1,400 ways that did not work. And that's the way he took it. Each time he tried something, okay, well, it's my process of elimination. It's almost like what I'm trying to do. It's like I'm trying to reach out and hope that enough people that I could put my big foot, you're knocking on all the doors, and somewhere down the line, you know, you're going to get the door to open. You're going to put your foot in, and hopefully it's going to be the avenue to open. So you're going to take a lot of no's until you get to that one. Say, hey, I like what you're doing. Maybe we could take it to the next step. And that's what so you cannot give up. I remember my mother used to tell me all the time. She'd say, you got plenty of time to rest when you're in the ground. Do all you can now. I never forgot it.
Well, she was a brilliant woman, fabulous thing to say. And she's absolutely right. We should never, we never can give up. And that's what we were talking about before with Sally. Even though what we are hearing about now is bleak, or it doesn't mean that it can't be changed. That's the difference. We don't have to continue these failed policies. I just read an article before the show where they said that American entrepreneurship, more American businesses are failing than ever before. Now, we all know, any of us that have been an entrepreneur, it's very unusual for a business to open up, start, be created, and all of a sudden be a huge success. It rarely works that way. There are pitfalls. There are things that change. There are things that are outside influences that we have no control over. We can only change and work with the things that we can control. But when you teach a child that they are not special, that they're all the same, that they all get the prize for coming, that they shouldn't try anything. My biggest concern is I cannot remember the last time that I ever heard anyone say to a child, think outside.
Oh, yeah.
When we were growing up, that's all we heard, think outside the box.
Yeah.
You don't like the box, think outside the box.
Yeah,
now you can't do that anymore, because the minute you think outside the box, you're a racist. You're a homophobe, you're a sexist, whatever phobia you happen to be, whatever they want to call you. And
what did the Romans do years ago? Was that divide and conquer? It doesn't matter what the color, whatever. People want it for their own self-interest, okay? They want to divide and split people, cause fractions or factions, whatever, between people to argue and this and that, and you take them away from all the general things. Meanwhile, they slip around the back way, and they try and control this. They want to grab land. They want to grab this. I don't remember the federal government that had the power that they could control all the land. I don't remember
that.
Maybe I'm wrong.
They don't, because that is a problem. And then we go back to...
And we're taxed to death.
Yes.
They used to always say, Karen, what was the thing? It was death
no
and taxes. We're a short thing. I think for sure taxes. I don't know about the death anymore.
Well, the part that I'm not liking anymore is that now it's taxation without representation.
Oh, for real. You know, Karen, I developed with one of my little political kind of cartoons. I developed a character called, check this out, Iris, I-R, little I, capital S, Iris of the internal... reaming service of how we're getting destroyed by an agency that all they want is money, money, money. It's all about control. And then when you see all the things that are coming out of what's happening in our government, where they're lying and they're doing this, they're not being truthful, what are they all covering up for? It's only that handful of people that are preventing this great nation to flourish, to come back, to give people, when you have that freedom to be able to create and do what you want to do, and nobody kind of say, hey, why are you doing that? That's dumb or that's stupid. You know, when we do that, we help all of mankind, all of humanity. What was that? We were talking about one of those endangered. It was called a manatee. Hey, well, it should be humanity. That's the one that we've got to keep to never be endangered.
That's right. And that's the one that is the most endangered.
Yeah,
the most endangered. And the problem is because it's all the policies, you're absolutely right, all the policies we're facing, everything that's going on today is about three words, money, power, and control.
Wasn't it absolute power corrupts absolutely? Have you ever seen
right.
a leader from, I don't know, from maybe since the beginning of what we had recorded history, where they'll take an office or they become king or something? How many of them decide, I'm tired. Hey, Karen, you take over now. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Man's ego winds up destroying them. He gets greedy.
Right. I will never forget sitting in front of my representative sitting opposite him when he first decided he was going to run for office. And he said, I'm a businessman, and I want to go to D.C., and I want to straighten things out, and I want to create the business atmosphere, and I am only going to go there for 2 terms because my family is more important. And guess what? He's running for a 3rd term.
Yeah, and I'm going to put that thing in there. What it is terminal. You know, it's going to wind up destroying the country and everything. You know, it's great that people want to put a service into our country and want to put something back. But I think, the more I get thinking about it and older, I think there should be a limit on how much time you could spend, because it causes corruption. You become buddies and pals. We don't have 2 different parties. It's all the same.
Yes.
They just talk out of one side of their mouth or out of the other end that they got.
Well, we have the Democrats who are favoring the big government and the Republicans who are favoring big business. And in reality, the Democrats favor both, and so
right.
do the Republicans. So it really doesn't make any difference because the endangered species is the constituent who nobody favors. And we have a huge void in accountability, in conversation, and in leadership. And there was just a news article about a man who went to a town hall meeting for his children because he saw a book in school, and he went to, I'm sorry, it wasn't a town hall, it was a school board meeting. He went to a school board meeting to report on what his child was reading in school, and he started to read the book, and he started to read the chapter, and I'm not sure if it was in New Hampshire, I know it was one of the New England states. They give the people 2 minutes to talk, and he exceeded his 2-minute time frame.
Okay.
They brought in the police. They handcuffed him.
Oh, wow.
This is in America, where a father is concerned about what his children are reading in school. Where do we go from here?
Is that also part of, Karen, I'm learning a little bit more as I get into the stuff to be able to put the thing in a humorous approach. Is that what the Common Core kind of thing?
Yes.
That's trying to bring into it? Actually, there was something I saw on the Internet today in a school somewhere in California, I can't remember where they had eighth grade students had to write an essay on what they think, whether the Holocaust a hoax. Well,
yes.
you know, I'm going back to some of my people, relatives and people that have been there. You know, it's like people want to rewrite history. You can't, only for their own agenda, if that's where that agenda thing comes in, okay, is that they want to have it change the books, have all the kids. You don't have thinkers no more. And reason,
no.
You know, so, and that's where you create all this racism and hatred and all this other kind of stuff.
You're absolutely right.
Only one color in my crayons, and that's human. That's the only color.
That's a good point. Got a lot. Because it, what I was telling Sally before is that as I was going out in the community, I'm talking to all the constituents that live there. Doesn't make any difference who they are. The people are saying the same thing. Why are they doing this? Aren't we all Americans? Why are they destroying the country? We're all Americans. I get this so many times every day when I go out and talk to people. I don't want to be divided. They don't believe it. They don't feel that way. And this, as we know, is the divide and conquer principle.
Why not, instead of separating people, oh, he's black, he's white, he's yellow, he's red. I mean, you know, if I ever saw people with that particular color, you know, I think I'd run for the quickest exit or make an exit in the wall real quick. I've never seen anybody with a black skin, with a total white skin. As I remember, people would ask me, you know, you're talking to people on the phone, for whatever reason they bring up, well, what do you look like? So I used to always tell them, I'm fair skinned. So I always used to say, oh, I'm like number two on the toaster. Why not have it like, hey, I'm a 2, you're a 19, she's a 27, and whatever. We're all different shades of color, of beauty, of life.
We
have a caller.
Oh, another caller.
Okay. Caller 3090. You are on the air. If we can get your name, please.
Hi, my name is Wonder Ann. I don't use my corporate name for exactly why your program is on, because of my freedom of choice. And I just really am glad you have Dr. Fritzi on, because Dr. Fritzi is, hang on, let me put you off of speaker.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, sorry about that. I forget. I was outside with my dogs. And one of the things that I am so proud of you, Karen, standing up and starting to say these things, program as you have, and you're saying nothing is at random. I don't have the rest of the list there. But the humor is so vital for what Dr. Fritzi has done with his comedy cartoons, is to show people that we must laugh. We must laugh at the insanity out there, because we're so many people see and think and do things over and over and over expecting different results, and none have occurred. Businesses are failing, education is failing, medical is failing, politics are failing. There is no difference between the political parties. They turned communist back in the 70s. The Communist Party ran for years from the 30s all the way into the 70s, and they said, finally, we don't have to run anymore. The Republicans and Democrats have taken on our platform because we changed communism to liberal. And
yes,
everybody is pointing at liberals and conservatives. They're all the same. When are we going to be Americans? When are we going to be the people we want to be, not what we have been told to be? We have been so programmed. You talked about TV. I grew up with a TV back in the 50s, and we had very little programming. And what did it do at the end of the day? It got a big screen on, and it said, no more programs. Today, you have 24/7 programming of the mind across the world. everyone is programmed. That's the common denominator. Everybody's being taught, shown, and given misinformation, propaganda, vile lies, and no one is living in truth anymore. We must get back. We must see and hear the golden rule on everyone's lips. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, because no way can we live in this hierarchy of slavery. And I'm calling it hierarchy of slavery because even the potentates are slaves. They're puppets done by the puppeteer. Who are they? What are their names? Where do they come from? We do not know, because that's the secret. You know what? Turn your backs on them. Stop giving them energy. Stop doing what they want you to do. Civil disobedience is a right. It is a cognizant right for all of us to say, I am me. And me is who I take care of. You know, I live in a little house. I haven't had someone come in and tell me when to go to the bathroom. I haven't had anyone come in and tell me when to fix my dinner. I haven't had anyone come in and tell me when to take my dogs out for a walk. And that's what we will get. We will be told those exact things. I've been thrown in detention. I've lost my car. I have stood up against them because I said I do not agree. I will not recontract. This is not okay. They didn't like it. You know, when I tell a cop my name, you can call me Wonder Ann, they get all untwisted. They get all excited. But it's all because I won't do what they want us to do. And that's the point for all of us to get.
That is really the key to everything. And the good news is, through shows like ours, through conversations like this, we believe in truth, education, conversation, and action. And people can be at different points of the spectrum as long as we all know that the goal is going to wind up with action. And that's where we have to come together to determine we're Americans, period.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference what other piece of whatever garbage you want to put with us. You have no right to steal our country. You have no right to sell our country to anybody else other than an American. The people that come here have to come here in an orderly manner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's, I believe that, and that's what I'm working on with Dr. Fitzy, so that we can put together a program guide. You know, like you're playing football or a playbook. Dr. Fitzy, how's that? A playbook.
Sounds good.
And this way, if we all follow the same playbook, which we can do in a humorous way to describe why is the Constitution not a living, breathing document? First of all, that would be chaotic. And second of all, because we are a country of law, and if you don't know what the law is, then how can you follow it? So we all have agreed, as being a part of being an American, is that we have this rule of law. It is called the Constitution. It is the same for every American, and it doesn't change its colors or stripes for one group or another. And what I think about this, imagine playing football. And it's your turn, and you have your team is down by one, and if you kick a field goal, you're going to be the winner. And you get up and you go to kick the field goal, and I move the goalpost. Is that fair?
Nope.
And you win? So
nope.
How can the Constitution that we all have to follow change for different people? It can't. So we need to get that message out there. We have to all agree. We will speak English. We will follow the rule of law. our rule of law that we are following is the Constitution, not a living, breathing document. It doesn't change. It's the same for everybody. We will no longer be black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jewish, whatever. We are Americans, period. End of story.
Take the hyphens.
And you know what? And you know the other side that most people forget is the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights were kept separate for the purpose of it not being blended into the Constitution. The Constitution really was not. If you go into a lot of other constitutions and other secret societies, they start with we, the people. The Bill of Rights is the only one that those founding fathers said was for the people. And we have 10 of them that are rock solid, and we have had them bastardized, we've had them taken away, and when Dr. Footsie puts it in a cartoon, people, it's valuable. It's important that you have the humor to learn through comedy and cartoons. A picture, what is it? Worth a thousand words. Okay. And it's important.
Dr. Footsie, let's take the plan. Let's take what we're saying now.
Okay.
And let's create a cartoon playbook for the American people who understand football. And how? Imagine if every player on a football team went out to do the huddle and the playbook that each one of them had was different. How could they play?
Excellent.
They can't
point.
Play the game. Everybody has to agree to follow the playbook. There's one coach. The coach doesn't write the playbook, he implements the playbook. He doesn't get to change the rules unless he sits down with the rest of the team and says, this rule is not going to work. We have to tweak it and do it this way.
And the coach isn't the media.
That's right. He doesn't get to go out in the middle of the game play unless it's an extreme emergency and change the whole entire field so that people don't know how to work together and while he's changing the rules. And that's, maybe we should equate it to like a football game.
That's a good
maybe
idea.
People would understand that.
Karen, let me put something in. When we were talking about how I got involved with the cartoons, well, I was fortunate enough that there's a gentleman that I met on the Internet that has an online newspaper called Virginia News Source. He thought enough of my stuff without having any formal training. He said, Doc, he says, I want to make you, I want to brand you. I say, hey, all I remember about brands, don't make me like an Edsel, I'll be all right. So he kind of laughed. So but since August of last year, he's made me the staff cartoonist, and he's published 90 of my cartoons out there. And then I got involved with this other organization called, and they're in Florida, Save America Foundation. I think you
said that
you're on their board. Well, I had talked to the guy.
Your board.
Yeah, and he had said to me, Karen, he said, Doc, you think you could make like a new American kind of hero? I don't know. I mean, I was thinking maybe you make like a cartoon strip. Well, he gave me the thought. Well, I wound up about a couple of months ago, I wound up making cartoons of American hero, okay? He's called Patriot Paul, okay? A little bit dressed like in the olden days, like back in the 1700s, and then wound up giving him a family of he's got a little kid called Billy Wright, spelled W-R-I-G-H-T, from Billy and the Bill of Rights. Then this Connie of the Constitutionists. And then the matriarch of the family, she's someone named Frida. Well, their family name is Freedom. Is that all we're working for? We should be fighting for people that have died for this country to give us freedom.
Let's take the game plan because I have that. And as I told you before, illustrating it, I think, is the way to do it. I'm making it simple so that we can direct people to experts that we need them to so they will understand. It's one thing to give a person the Constitution. It's another thing for them to understand because they never learned it in school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's start from the beginning and make it real simple and say, here's the game plan. This is what America is. If we don't follow the game plan, we are in the end zone. We are, what, in the last 45 seconds of the game.
Right.
And the score is 16-17.
Okay.
And there's 45 seconds to go, and you're standing at the you're standing to kick a goal. A field goal, and that would put you over the top. Because you've got 16. And every time you go to kick the field goal, I move the goalpost. How does that work?
Yeah, or you move them closer together, the poles.
Anything. It doesn't matter. Whatever way I want to move it, I'll turn it sideways. You'll never hit the goal. You'll never make the goal. You'll kick and kick and kick and kick. That's what's going on. That's what's going on in school. That's what's going on in every regulation that they're making. They are doing this on purpose. And you said it before, we have to stop playing their game. So the only way to play their game, stop playing their game, is to create a different game that uses the same tools that they use. So we use the same words.
But it's for the
technology.
People.
But it is done in a way so that the people will understand. When they say, we're going to help the middle class, they really mean we're going to help the middle class out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that.
And they're doing it.
Oh, right.
They've done it.
We talked about this before because we talked about ignorance and stupidity. Well, the people are not stupid. They're ignorant. They were never taught. Here we are talking about all this. The majority of the people were never taught this in school. They were taught that when you go shopping, your dress should coordinate with your shoes and your belt should be a different color.
Karen, you're a teacher and I'm a teacher. And one of the things that I've learned as a teacher, I was your gym teacher, so I had the kids moving a lot. But what I learned is that as a teacher in the classroom, you said it perfectly, think outside the box. What happened in school, if you remember, the boys, if they asked questions, they were reprimanded or thrown out of class or hit or whatever they did in that time. I had five sons, and I wouldn't permit any of that type of treatment. However, many parents didn't know their children were being mistreated if they asked a question. And today, most of these adults don't ask the question.
That's right.
Out loud.
They
what is going
right.
on?
That's,
who's
that's,
running this game?
Right. Well, let's put together the book, the game. Let's call it the game plan, the American game plan.
Good.
And let's call it that and call on all of these talking heads and morons and criminals and the good guys. But let's create the American game plan. There's ways to get out of this mess. We don't have to take this garbage, and it's still early enough not to. And you have to really do it locally. And people
Absolutely.
Have to have the knowledge of what the problems are, because right now they think that if they stop using plastic, then the earth is going to exist and global warming and the climate will never change and it will always be 83 degrees with a balmy wind.
And that's a bunch of baloney, too, because it's getting cooler. And part of the thing, though, that in this game plan is the fact that each person must think for themselves.
Right.
It is
think
an art form today because so few know how to do it. Side
that's
the box.
One of the reasons why they have eliminated math and now are making math so confusing, because math is very logical. And math creates the ability to put things in order. because you had to learn the order of operations, you had to learn the order of numbers, you had to learn what the order of the, for the equations, the order of the operations for the equations. That's why they stop teaching it. That's why they make it so confusing, because now in life, we're able to calculate things quickly. This generation cannot calculate at all without pushing an app for it.
That's right. Do you know that no war was ever started over math? We listened to a fellow one time, and he had all these different religious leaders in the room, and he had them purposely together so that they could learn this new language. And then one of them started saying this thing, and it got another one upset, and he said, well, what's the math on that? How many people? What was the number? Da-da-da-da. He said, because no war has ever been started over math. And they all shut up and listened to him because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want to, in this common core, they want to change it to what Dr. Fucci used as an example, two plus two equals three.
One equals three.
And the,
which is
the
true.
Issue.
If you follow it through, it works, though. But that
but
has
see,
to be...
It,
you have to put that down as a thought.
But see, you want to see, that's called misinformation.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
misdirecting the children in learning.
Wrong direction. The single thing that math teaches you is that you have to be true. If you don't tell the truth, the end is not going to work out. You can't take two things that are false and then make them true. It doesn't work.
Correct.
The numbers will not do that. And once you learn that and you have that ability to understand that, you are supposed to apply that in your life.
and
using that with the morality brought to you by God and your family, you would be able to then make wonderful choices. But if you don't have any of that knowledge, all you're going to do is continue to make bad choices. And these bad choices are being fed to you by the people who are making lots of money by you making bad choices.
Well, and two, the fact is that with thinking outside the box, analytical thinking is really so much more fun. It is so much more fun. And I got to tell you, when you see kids go to school with the bright eyes and looking forward to learning something new and they come back with this dull look, I asked our neighbors, the little boys, I said, what did you learn today? And one of them said he learned, he was learning fractions. I said, mixed fractions? He said, no, it was just simple fractions. And the other one was learning integers or something. And, of course, that's all new language, and I've gone back to college and learned some of that. However, it's like, why do you have to change the numbers? Why do you have to, let's keep it simple, sweetheart. This is our life, and we can grow from it. And I continue on to validate you on having this program because it is so important.
Well, please share it with everyone. So that we can grow and we can get in great ideas like this, because Dr. Fucci and I, are going to put this project together so that people will have a place where they can go to understand. Because as I have been talking, what I'm finding is we may use the same word, but the definition has been so mutilated depending upon the group you're with, because there's your social justice, that you can't have a conversation with most people because you talk about the same word, but it's different things, and by the end of the conversation, you are angry at each other because
Correct.
You don't understand each other. Mm-hmm. And that's being done on purpose. So we need to get back to, let's define what we mean first so that we all understand what we're going to talk about, what we're going to say, how we're going to say it. and let us all understand that we're all coming from the same place, which was lack of knowledge on purpose. So it's nobody's fault. Let's eliminate that. This is not faulty. This is solutions. What can we do now that we recognize these are the problems? And let's do the solution. And I think if we do it that way as a book cartoon, we can continue it and continue it, make it into the old-time cartoons. Why do they not want people to write? Because they can't monitor you when you write something on your pad. They can monitor you when you put something on your keyboard, and then they can read it.
Hey, Karen, could we make, I'm thinking now about it, sort of like a game board, like the only game board that they've been using for years and years, I'm talking about the politicians, is that game Monopoly.
Well,
so it's all about control. So it's some kind of way to make a fun way to play using other pieces, other things. And the main goal is to make life fun, to knowledge is power, that you could be able to express yourself. And what they used to say for many years, isn't the power of the pen mightier than the sword?
Yes.
But I really to remember. Now, of course, in my case, English was my worst subject. I guess not only did I used to write in dangling participles, I think I talk in them too.
I remember one of the papers that I wrote. My teacher came back and she said, "Never in my years of grading college papers have I seen a brilliant paper written so awful." But I feel that I have to give you two grades, one for your creativity and one for your lack of knowledge of the English language.
But that's so important.
So after that, I went back and took drama classes.
Oh, okay. Oh, what, drama you said?
Brooklyn.
No, drama or drama?
No, grammar.
Oh, grammar. You said drama.
Right, grammar.
Yeah.
Grammar.
So,
Karen, I'm going to have to drop off here because
we are also.
The thing I want to say is I will make an announcement of your program on my health and wellness program that we have on the talk show on Thursday morning and with people across the country also. Not as big as yours, but we are very, very tuned in with how the health for seniors is our death threat. And so we do keep our seniors as healthy as we can, as you are informed. And it is important to be informed. This UN Agenda 21 is absolutely for us being put into FEMA.
Please send me an email with all of your information so that we can talk after, and let's put this together. I think we can do a very good job because people are confused. We want them not to be confused, and they're only confused because they don't have the knowledge. And then they get overwhelmed, and I think if we can reduce it to something understandable, we have a really good way to go. So thank you for joining us this evening.
And thank you for being so intuitive for seeing what I've been telling Dr. Footsie. You've got it, Dr. Footsie. The person's coming. They're coming to you.
I will be glad
to do that with you, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Doc, it has been
evening.
Wonderful.
Uh-oh, that's my little buddy talking in the background. Sorry about it, everybody. He's 16 years old. What?
Good night. Dr. Fisher?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there.
I got a job. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now we have to say, now it's time to say good night.
Family. What was that song? Good night, sweetheart.
Okay.
That goes along with that other lady, that Sally Go Round the Roses. Sally probably don't know what I'm even talking about. Hey, Sally, you still there? Are you in your sleep?
Yes, I'm still here. I think you were singing Carol Burnett's song. The end of the end of her show, she used to sing that song about
Carol
the night of the or whatever.
Sally Go Round the Roses?
Well, there's a few songs with Sally out there.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember.
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Mustang Sally, Lay Down Sally.
Oh, I remember that.
And
one.
Then there was In the Strawberry Patch for Sally.
There was also a movie something with something Sally and so and so. I don't remember that
when
one either.
Sally Met Harry or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Maybe they
anyway,
were both politicians.
It has been wonderful. And people can get a hold of you, Dr. Footsie, at?
DrFootsie.org. That's DrFoot. S like Sally. I like Irene. E like Edward. .org.
Wonderful. And
hopefully we will talk again. And we will see if
we absolutely will.
We'll open up a can of beans, we'll sit down by the tracks, and we'll talk about this world and make it a little bit better.
Yes, how we can make it better. Wonderful. What a pleasure. Thank you all for joining us this evening. This is Karen Schoen, your host, with American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 and every Sunday at 12 in the evening. And on Blog Talk, it is on Tuesday from 8 to 10. Please join us. We would love to have you. We'd love to share some ideas and opportunities. And you can reach us at our website, agenda21today.com, saveamericafoundation.com, panhandlepatriots.com, KarenShoen.com, and VoteKarenShoen.com. Get involved, stay involved, it's our country. Thank you all for joining me this evening. God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, Sally.
Good night.
Good night, Chet. Good night, Dr. Wasn't that thing, good night, Chet? Good night.
Yes.
Actually, I'd like to make one little statement, saying since Karen... And she's probably Karen that cares, okay? And she, last name is she is going to be a shoo-in for her election.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, thank you very
much.
I'm going to sign off. Until we meet again, happy trails and all the other stuff. You'll have to ask someone that one, Sally, because you may not get that one either. Good night.
What was that, Gene Autry?
That was Roy Rogers Daily.
Roy Rogers.
Happy trails to you.
That's right. Yeah, 11.
Yeah, Sally's a young little whippersnapper, so she don't even know anything we're talking about.
I remember Mr. Ed.
Oh, Mr. Ed, okay. I'm going to say good night so I can...
Good night.
Well,
good
thank
night
you.
All.
I do appreciate the opportunity. Good night.
It was wonderful. Good night. Take care. Sally, good night. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, bye.
Bye-bye.